Welcome back, everyone. Brian here, and Merry Christmas.
That's right. It's December 25th. So if you celebrate Christmas, a Merry Christmas to you from all of us here at English for You. Today, we're going to be talking about Call of the Wild. We're going to get to the exciting conclusion of the story. Isn't that right?
Yes, this is day three, and Buck has just met John Thornton. He's been warned not to cross the ice, but it seems like the gold-hunting trio is not listening to John Thornton.
That's right. They're not taking his advice. He told them, don't go up there. The ice is melting. But they seem to have a little bit of what we talked about yesterday, gold fever. That's all they see is the gold. They don't see the danger. And they're also putting the dogs' lives at risk, too. By overfeeding them, maybe they're going to run out of food. How is Buck going to get out of this situation?
I don't know, but let's find out.
Reading. The Call of the Wild. Buck is so hungry and exhausted that he refuses to cross the river. Hal beats Buck for not continuing. In that moment, Thornton sees that Buck is so special that he takes him from the gold hunters. Hal still urges the sled on until the ice cracks. The miners and the other dogs fall through the ice and are consumed by the cold water below. Thornton cares for Buck and helps him regain his health. Buck is so thankful that he becomes fully devoted to his new master. He even wins $1,600 for Thornton by pulling a massive sled in a competition. One night, Thornton falls asleep at his camp, and Buck wanders into the forest. When he returns, he is terrified to find that Native Americans who live nearby have killed Thornton. Buck kills several of the natives before running off into the woods. He joins a pack of wolves and turns into a fearsome leader. Yet each year, Buck returns to the spot where Thornton died to honor his master, and then returns once again to the wild.
Day three of the story begins with, Buck is so hungry and exhausted that he refuses to cross the river. Hal beats Buck for not continuing. In that moment, Thornton sees that Buck is so special that he takes him from the gold hunters. Hal still urges the sled on until the ice cracks. Joe, what does it mean when ice cracks?
That's when the ice actually starts to break apart. It starts to break down. So this is exactly what John Thornton actually said was going to happen. He said the ice is melting, and when it melts, it becomes weaker and weaker. And then it might start to crack, it comes apart, and that's when you are really in trouble because you might fall into the freezing water, and if the water is cold enough, you can actually die in a matter of minutes.
The story says that the miners and the other dogs fall through the ice and are consumed by the cold water below. Let's look at that word consume. C-O-N-S-U-M-E, consume, is a verb that means to eat or drink something, but also to destroy something, like if we say a fire consumes a building. So here we can kind of imagine the cold river as a huge monster that eats up the gold hunters and the other dogs. But at least Buck is safe, right?
Yeah, Buck actually, we think, manages to escape. But let's find out exactly what has happened to Buck and Mr. Thornton. Thornton cares for Buck and helps him regain his health. Buck is so thankful that he becomes fully devoted to his new master. So Buck was in trouble. He was really weak from hunger because the food had run out. And he was probably near death. He was probably in danger of dying. But John Thornton brought him back to health. Buck was very thankful. If you are thankful to somebody, it means they've done something very nice or very good for you, and you are grateful. It's like you want to show that you are thankful, that you want to say thank you to them for all of the good things that they have done for you. So, of course, Thornton basically saved Buck's life. So, of course, he's very thankful, and he's devoted to his new master.
You can also remember thankful as being full of thanks. So, the story continues. He even wins $1,600 for Thornton by pulling a massive sled in a competition. And we saw two interesting words in that sentence. First, massive. This is an adjective that we use to say something is very large. So we could say like, well, what can we say is massive?
Like Jupiter, the planet. It's a very massive planet. It's huge. I think it's actually the biggest in our solar system. So it's massive, really, really big.
And here on Earth, we could say maybe an elephant or a whale or something is just massive.
They're massive animals.
We also saw the word competition. C-O-M-P-E-T-I-T-I-O-N. Competition is a noun that describes a situation where people or groups try to be better than each other. So, Joe, what's a good example of a competition?
Well, the other day I was walking around the Ximending area, and I saw a breakdancing competition. There was all kinds of dancers competing against each other. Competing just means they are trying to do better than the other people, trying to win. And so they were all breakdancing. They were all showing their moves. I can't breakdance at all, so unfortunately I can't show you any of those moves. But that's an example of a competition. You can have a competition in sports. You can have a competition in like academic things, like a spelling competition where you try to spell different words that might be very difficult to figure out. These are all examples of different kinds of competitions. And Buck won a lot of money for Thornton in that competition because back then, $1,600, that could go a long way. It's way more than, it was worth a lot back then, in other words.
Sure. Back then, $1 could buy you, you know, a huge dinner for four people or more.
Oh, yeah, they could buy a very, very fancy dinner for, like, an entire family. Sometimes, even very, things that we would think are expensive today might cost, like, 1 cent, 1 penny. You could buy things for even fractions of a penny. So that was a lot of money.
So the story continues. One night, Thornton falls asleep at his camp and Buck wanders into the forest. When he returns, he is terrified to find that Native Americans who live nearby have killed Thornton. Now we see that Buck is terrified. T-E-R-R-I-F-I-E-D. Terrified is an adjective that means someone is, well, very afraid. So you could be terrified because of something like that. We could also say someone is terrified while watching a horror movie, maybe.
That's true. If you're watching a scary movie in the theater or on TV, you can become terrified, very, very scared or frightened. And Buck, even though he's very brave, brave just means you're not usually afraid of things, with all the things that he's done, he is still terrified because these Native Americans, this just means the people who were the first ones to actually live in America or in North America. They were the first people there. Here in Taiwan, we call them like the Aboriginals. Those are the tribes that were here in the very, very beginning. In North America, we call them Native Americans. Let's get back into the story, which says Buck kills several of the natives before running off into the woods. So even though he was very terrified, he still fought the Native Americans, actually killed several of them. There, he joins a pack of wolves and turns into a fearsome leader. So actually, like throughout the story, he's kind of been going you know, back to his wild state.
Right.
He was a very tame, very calm dog before.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to join this pack or group of wolves, and he becomes the leader of the wolves, no less. He's going to lead the entire pack, so he's turned back into this wild, proud animal.
And it says that he becomes fearsome. So what does that mean exactly, to become fearsome?
If you are fearsome, it means you're very fierce, very strong, and people have a reason to fear you or to be afraid of you. So if you see an animal that's very dangerous, like a tiger, for example, is a fearsome animal because, well, they can hurt you.
Right.
They're very big, they're very strong, they're powerful. So that is what it means to be a fearsome creature or a fearsome leader. And he is a fearsome leader because, well, you know, he can hurt people. He killed the Native Americans. You know, in the fight, he killed Spitz. So he is indeed a fearsome animal if he doesn't like you, I guess, if you get on his bad side.
Buck is generally nice, but I definitely wouldn't want to make him angry.
No, you wouldn't want to get on Buck's bad side. You'd want to make sure you stay friends with that guy. Don't mess around with him.
I can only imagine Buck running across the tundra, hunting for food with his new wolf pack family. Though, maybe he didn't become completely wild. The story ends. Yet each year, Buck returns to the spot where Thornton died to honor his master, and then returns once again to the wild.
That's right, yeah. He goes back to that same spot, so I guess he remembers a little bit of that.
He remembers it, and I think he is so thankful for what John Thornton did for him. If it wasn't for Thornton, Buck would have most certainly died with the other gold hunters and the other dogs when they fell into the river.
That's right. This is a good example of a saying we often have in English, like a dog is a man's best friend. And there are like real examples of this even today, of dogs doing things similar to what Buck was doing, going back to that same spot where Thornton had actually died. There are examples of dogs that were with their master for a very long time.
Yes.
Then the master passes away, but the dog will go to their gravesite and actually sit there, like, every day. I remember a very famous example. They actually made it into a movie, and right now I can't remember the name of the dog, but this was in Japan.
Gretel.
Yeah, that was the dog, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell a little bit of that story.
Well, Gretel was an assistance dog that helped a man who was in a wheelchair. So he could just move around in the wheelchair, but he lived alone. So he was given this assistance dog, and the dog was trained to do all kinds of things. It could open certain doors. If they went to a supermarket, it could pull things, bite things off the shelves and hand them to him. It could help him put on his socks and shoes.
Yeah, all kinds of things. He was like a little furry assistant, basically.
Yeah.
And then, after the owner passed away, then he was basically doing the same thing that Buck was doing. Isn't that right?
Well, actually, Gretel passed away owner was still alive. But the way in which it happened, if you've ever seen the video, and if you're a dog person, you know, you'll probably cry when you watch it, because Gretel is about 17 years old, and she refuses to move away from her master's side. Even though she has trouble walking, and people, you know, put her on a bed and say, okay, you don't have to work anymore, she refuses to stop working and helping him.
So this is a great example of the loyalty of dogs, and this is part of the theme of this story overall. It's talking about, you know, friendship, loyalty, becoming a leader. It's talking about nature, the elements. All these cool things are brought together by the author, the great Jack London, in this story. So there's so many different lessons that we can learn from just reading about the remarkable story of this dog, Buck. Well, that's all the time we have for discussing today's article, and now once again it's time for You Chat.
For You Chat.
Today's For You Chat question is, what is the nicest thing that anyone has ever done for you? That's a tough one. How about you, Joe?
That is a tough question. Well, I would have to say that after I finished my university studies. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wanted to travel, and I really wanted to come here to mm-hmm. Taiwan, but mm-hmm. I had just been a student for actually 5 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're a student, you don't really have that much money. I had, even though I had worked the whole time, all my money went to paying for books, paying for my classes. Mm-hmm. And so it was all over, and I was basically broke. I really wanted to go, and I thought, wow, maybe this dream is just going to be a dream. Maybe it mm-hmm. won't happen. Mm-hmm. And my parents actually came for me one day, and they said, look, here's some money to buy a plane ticket to go and travel, and you can go to Taiwan, and you can live out your dream of traveling. And that was just great for me. I think I got a little teary when they actually did that, yeah. because it was just such a nice thing for them to do that they didn't have to do for me, mm-hmm. but they did it anyway. So that's what it was for me. What about you?
Pretty similar. I'd say my parents have done some pretty great things for me, especially when I was in high school and they let me go to Germany on vacation to visit some of my friends. So my friends actually from Germany, and they went there and they said, okay, you can go. And I was really actually kind of shocked when they said that. I didn't ask and I didn't expect it, but they gave it to me anyway, so that was definitely one of the nicest things anyone has ever done for me.
Sometimes the nicest things people do for us are, like we said, the unexpected things, the things that just kind of come out of nowhere and mm-hmm. surprise us in a very, very good way. Mm. Well, you guys can discuss this amongst yourselves as well. It's a bit of a tough question. What is the nicest thing somebody has ever done for you? Well, that brings us to the end of our 3 days of talking about Call of the Wild. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you'll join us again next time on English for You. Until then, I'm Joe.
And I'm Brian.
Goodbye.
Sentence for You.
Have you ever been camping in the woods before? It must be terrifying to encounter a pack of wolves. However, if they were just as cute as Jacob in the movie Twilight, it would probably remind me of my forgotten workout plans. 如果呢在森林里露营遇到一群野狼，想必是非常可怕的事情。但是呢，如果是遇到《暮光之城》里面的狼人，大概就是要提醒我该健身啦。OK， 在英文中呢，针对不同的动物呢的一群呢，这个有不同的说法哦。例如呢，狼群，刚讲到狼群，你就要说 a pack of wolves。那另外呢 ，a herd of cattle。或者 a herd of elephants， herd 呢指的是大型的兽类，比方说像刚刚讲到的 cattle 牛，或是 elephant 大象。 a flock 指的是鸟类或是羊群哦。 a flock of sheep 或是 a flock of birds 就是一群鸟或是一群羊。那例如呢一群昆虫，比方说蜜蜂啊蚂蚁呢，你就可以说 a swarm of 或是 a colony of， 比方说 a swarm of ants 或是 a colony of bees。其他呢还有什么呢，还有 a school of fish 一群鱼，或者 a pride of lions， pride 呢就是骄傲的意思，所以一群狮子 a pride of lions， 哇多骄傲。那另外呢一群人呢你则可以说 a crowd of people， 例如呢 I can't sing in front of a crowd of people， really OK， 我不敢呢在一群人面前唱歌。那就像呢中文中有不同的量词啊，例如说一本书啊，一颗苹果，英文中也有许多量词呢来针对不同的东西呢表达不同的状态。今天呢讲到呢只是冰山一角啊，还有很多稀奇古怪的量词等着你去发现哦。 See you next time， 拜拜。
The Call of the Wild. Buck is so hungry and exhausted that he refuses to cross the river. Hal beats Buck for not continuing.In that moment, Thornton sees that Buck is so special that he takes him from the gold hunters. Hal still urges the sled on until the ice cracks. The miners and the other dogs fall through the ice and are consumed by the cold water below.Thornton cares for Buck and helps him regain his health. Buck is so thankful that he becomes fully devoted to his new master. He even wins $1,600 for Thornton by pulling a massive sled in a competition. One night, Thornton falls asleep at his camp, and Buck wanders into the forest. When he returns, he is terrified to find that Native Americans who live nearby have killed Thornton. Buck kills several of the natives before running off into the woods. He joins a pack of wolves and turns into a fearsome leader. Yet each year, Buck returns to the spot where Thornton died to honor his master, and then returns once again to the wild.
Vocabulary Review.
Crack. To enjoy boiled eggs, we have to crack the shell first. Consume. Some scientists are afraid that a black hole will consume the Earth one day. Thankful. The children were very thankful for getting new bicycles on Christmas. Competition. The school had a spelling competition and gave a prize to the winner. Terrified. Kelly was terrified because she thought that a mouse was under her bed.